army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the very proud kosher butcher's wife, and for that matter, kosher butcher's mother. And I just have to read a press release that has just been released, I think 5 minutes ago. Press release, important message, Nussbaum's listeria free. After rigorous testing, we are proud to advise that Nussbaum's is 100% listeria free. You can be assured that you are buying the safest products and best quality. We will always uphold our commitment to health, safety, and quality, and will continue to service the community with the utmost integrity. Sincerely, Baruch and Ian Lurie of the Nussbaum team. Well, that's great news. And seeing that I'm talking about Rosh Hashanah and all the fantastic recipes that I've got to share, some new and exciting ones, they say start the new year off afresh. So go in and get your meat today and keep it in the freezer and have it ready for Yontif, because you know, you never know what's going to happen at the end. I've known of so many stories of trucks breaking down and of all sorts of things. I can't begin to tell you. So, as I say, every year, and as the butchers always plead with me and say to me, please tell people to take their orders now and have it in the freezer. So, Rosh Hashanah is fast approaching. And I thought I should start this week. I think it's a month away. Start this week's show with a couple of sweet new recipes for a sweet new year. And this year, Rosh Hashanah falls Sunday? Yes, it's Monday the 10th and Tuesday the 11th. So that means first night is Sunday night the 9th and second night is Monday night. So you'll also still have Sunday to do some preparations, but if you're like me, get it all done and get your meat stuff into the freezer, get your kugels into the freezer. They're fine. You can bake your potato kugel, stick it in the freezer, take it out, warm it up and crisp it up, and you'll have some delicious food. So we need to have apples. We need something with apples, something with honey, something with carrots. Something round, something with prunes or raisins, something delicious. And I'm going to be sharing a couple of new recipes for you, with you, some that I've been working on over the last week or so. It's a sweet potato with a tahina afterglow. So that's one salad that you could serve it warm, and the next day you could serve it cold, or you can just serve it cold, or room temperature better. Then we're going to be having, we've got a kohlrabi slaw that you'll adore. We've got an fresh asparagus and fresh pea salad, and a Mediterranean egg salad. So that's the eggs that we're going to be talking about. That's the salad, sorry, that we're going to be talking about. And then we're going to go brisket crazy. Brisket berserk. Brisket bonanza with a twist. Okay, so there are many traditional and beautiful insights with regards to Rosh Hashanah, all the beautiful symbolic food that we should be eating, and you know, the beautiful shapes of our challahs and the raisins in our challahs and the dusted challahs with beautiful cinnamon and sugar on top, and of course carrot zimis or meat simmers, whatever you want to make. And we've also got to have, just talking about food, don't forget to get a new fruit on your table, a new fruit tasted for the first time since it was last in season. I'm also going to be sharing a lot of recipes with you, as I said, brisket recipes with a twist. I'll tell you what the twist is just now. But before we carry on, let's go to an ad break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Okay, so we were talking about some lovely, exciting recipes, new recipes and salads for Rosh Hashanah. And yes, this Rosh Hashanah is around the corner and we are going to be, I'm going to be sharing a sweet potato with a tahina afterglow salad. So what you'll need for this recipe is a one kilo packet of frozen sweet potatoes. Or I find that I prefer just to, you know, if you're busy, okay, you'll use a frozen one, so make it quicker. But if you're not, then you can get just regular sweet potatoes. Get the orange ones. They're the nice ones. And you just slice them into chips. You can leave the skin on. And, what you can do is you can actually microwave boil them before and then slice them up. And then you just bake them on a, tin foil container or tin foil tray with a little bit of oil. But let me give you the whole recipe. So, and you can grab your pens and write these recipes down, or I will give them to somebody in the office and they will upload them. So it is 1 kilo of sweet potatoes, 2 red onions cut into eighths, and then you separate the leaves. 1 teaspoon crushed fresh garlic, 1 tablespoon honey, 1 teaspoon of finely grated orange rind. Now, if you don't like orange rind, okay, you can leave it out. But this really, it makes the salad pop. It's got a delicious flavor. Nobody will even know it's got orange peel in. And I've served it to my brother who hates orange peel, and he didn't even know. 1 teaspoon of cumin. 1 tub, and there's 250 grams or 250 mils of tahina. You can use any brand that you want. You can get them in the little tubs. You'll also need 1/4 cup of water, 1/2 cup of olive oil. Sorry, 1/4 cup of olive oil. So it's 1/4 cup water, 1/4 cup olive oil, chopped flat leaf parsley, and 1 teaspoon of za'atar spice. So what you do is you preheat your oven to 180 degrees, lightly fry your onions in 1/4 cup of oil. Now this is not the oil that's in the recipe, but it's, 1/4 cup of oil that you need to fry these, 2 red onions, which you've cut into eighths. And then you just, you know, fry them until they're a little bit sort of brown on the edges. And you remove it from the heat and you add garlic, and then you just gently stir it and leave it on the side to cool. Now, in the meantime, in a bowl, combine some the honey, the cumin, the tahina, water, olive oil, and the orange rind, just 1 teaspoon of orange rind in a bowl. And then mix it all well together, and then just divide that into two bowls, two separate little compartments or plastic bowls, whatever you want to do. And you place the sweet potatoes and onion into a bowl and cover with 1/2 the tahina sauce that you put aside. The 1 bowl of tahina sauce that you put aside. You cover the sweet potatoes and onion in a bowl, and then you bake the potatoes with that on. Not the onions, You place the potatoes into the bowl with the tahina sauce, leave the onion separately, and then you bake the potatoes with that lovely sauce on, so it absorbs all that lovely sauce for about 30 minutes until they're soft and lightly golden. Then you allow that to cool, and then you cover with the other 1/2 of the sauce, and you add the cooled onions and you gently mix it together, and then you plate it and you decorate it with some flat leaf parsley and za'atar spice. So it's quite easy. So we just got 2 separate. We've divided the sauce in 1/2. We put the sauce on to the potato wedges and let them bake with the sauce on, remove it, and then put the 2nd bowl of sauce onto the cooked potato and onion. Now, there are a few reasons, during the year, I like to put pistachio nuts on it, but for the rest, you know, that's fine for the rest of the year. But on Rosh Hashanah, Ashkenazim don't eat nuts. Why? Okay, so there's a few reasons. Some say that it interferes with our davening because it makes our mouth dry and, you know, nuts aren't good. In fact, actually, I would like to take nuts and popcorn off the brocha tables completely because, and that's during the year as well, because it interferes not only with davening, but it interferes with talking. I mean, after I finish speaking to some people at the brocha, I can actually plant a mealie field with the amount of corn that lands on my face after chatting to popcorn-mouthed people. So I can understand why they leave nuts off during Rosh Hashanah. But all jokes aside, the deeper meaning, as my English teacher would say, is that it is connected to the numerical value of the Hebrew word for nuts, which is egos, and which has the same numerical value as chet, which is sin, 17. So we want to stay away as much as possible from any kind of sin and or anything that may conjure up the idea of sin. So although 17 is also the gematria for tov, which is good, some say that it's better to not even allow sin to even be mixed in with good during these days. Okay, but what's more important for me is that we pray hard, enjoy special time with the family, and just being sweet and kind. So we'll have to just eat sweet food. So after the break, we'll come back with some more sweet food, a kohlrabi slaw that you'll adore.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Well, there you go. Just in time for a new pair of shoes for Yontov. Okay, so with Yontov around the corner, it's been a week of experimenting and trying new recipes and going into our local fruit and vegetable shop. And I was standing at a fruit and vegetable shop the other day, and a young lady walked in and picked up a kohlrabi and said, "Now I've seen it all. What on earth is this?" So all I could say was it was a kohlrabi, and I decided there and then, you know what? I always see them here. I'm going to take one home, and I'm going to start experimenting. And we did, and I wanted to make some, you know, lovely fresh salads for Shabbos and whatever. And after discarding a few recipes and a few kohlrabis, I might add, we all decided that this was really crisp, fresh, tasty, and easy enough to make. So make up the salad dressing before, and then you start with the cutting up of the salad. So what you'll need for the salad dressing is the juice of 2 lemons, 3 tablespoons of sesame oil, 1/2 cup of sunflower oil, 3 tablespoons of honey, and 1/2 teaspoon of crushed garlic. Now, and a little bit of salt and pepper. Now, what I did was, I was battling to get sesame oil once, and I took a packet of sesame seeds, put them in the oven, and I just baked them a little so that they darkened, and removed them and placed them in my food processor and blended them all together with just a little bit of salt and some oil until I got a lovely sesame seed oil. So you can do that as well. And it's actually quite delicious. And sometimes, you know, the sesame doesn't break up completely and become super, super smooth. So you still have that texture, which is delicious in a salad, especially in this one. So what we'll need is 3 kohlrabi. So what do they look like? They look like they're in the vegetable section, and they look like lovely green apples, a bit like Granny Smith apples, but not as shiny. So you'll need 3 kohlrabis, and you peel away that thick green skin until you reach the light green to white part. And then you'll also need 2 crisp, firm apples, like Granny Smith apples, or if you, you know, want to use something sweeter for Rosh Hashanah, you can. You core those. You'll need 6 large red radishes, 3 cups of shredded cabbage, 2 sticks of celery, thinly sliced, and I like to slice it on the horizontal, 1/3 cup of dried cranberries, 1/4 cup toasted sesame seeds, and 1/4 cup toasted sunflower seeds. And that's basically all the ingredients you'll need. And you shred, once you've peeled that kohlrabi, you shred the kohlrabi and the apples in a food processor with the shredder disc. Or you just, you can grate it on and, or slice it julienne style. And then you place the apples or the kohlrabi and the kohlrabi and the radishes into a glass bowl and just pour over the dressing. You take the, shred the cabbage, or take the cabbage if you buy it already shredded. It takes time off things when we're in a hurry. And you shred the cabbage and you set it aside in the refrigerator until you're ready to serve it. Okay, and the best thing is to serve it that day. And then you place the cabbage in the bowl with the salad dressing, because you don't want to put the kohlrabi and the radishes and the apples and the cabbage all together in the bowl. You just want the apples, kohlrabi and the radishes in the glass bowl so that you can allow it to marinate in that salad dressing. If you put the cabbage in, you're not going to get that crunch that you really want. It's going, the cabbage is going to go a little soggy. So you place the cabbage into the bowl just before serving, and you mix it all up, and you sprinkle it with cranberries and sesame and sunflower seeds. And that's it. It's just a delicious salad, and people will sort of say, what's in this? It's just got something different and something with a wonderful crunch to it. So while we're on the subject of lovely and fresh and crispy, let me share my fresh asparagus, pea and fried mushroom salad. What you'll need for this is 500 grams of fresh, thin asparagus. I like the thin asparagus because it's just easier to monitor, you know, that they, when they sort of just lightly cooked. We're just going to blanch them. We're going to stick them into boiling water and out, count to 10, take them out and put them into to ice cold water. So you'll need 500 grams of fresh thin asparagus, 1.5 cups of shelled peas, which you can get, you know, already the lovely fresh peas. And we're going to dip those into boiling water as well, count to 10, and then put them into cold water. And then you will need 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, 2 tablespoons of rice vinegar, rice wine vinegar, or you can use white wine vinegar, kosher salt, and some nice freshly grounded black pepper. And then all you do is you fry, what I did with mine, okay, is it's a fresh asparagus, pea, and fried mushroom salad. So to start off, you take your mushrooms. Now, I like the pre-sliced mushrooms, the thin mushrooms, because they go crispy a lot quicker. Fry a little onion. So you'd fry one onion chopped until it goes a little bit brown, lightly browned. And then you would add the mushrooms, the thinly sliced mushrooms, and just continue to fry it and for quite a while, because remember that mushrooms give off a lot of water, so they'll sort of go soggy, and then all of a sudden they'll start getting lovely and crispy because you've got that oil with the onions. And then you set that aside to cool, and you can trim your asparagus, or you can just chop the heads off if it's, you know, too difficult to check them. And then you thinly slice them. I like to slice them sort of on the bias, so sort of, you know, on the horizontal. So, and then you toss the peas in with the asparagus, add some, the mint, oil and vinegar, and you season it with salt and pepper, and serve it and topped with a little bit more mint and the fried mushrooms. And then you have a lovely simple salad. Then one other salad. It's just an amazing thing. And then we promise you we're going to go into the brisket. Okay, but just one other salad is the Mediterranean egg salad. Now, I mean, it's amazing. I don't eat eggs, so maybe that's why I find it so amazing. But no matter what kind of boiled egg version of a salad you make, it just flies off the table. So we have, it's sort of a minhag, we have boiled eggs and asparagus, whether they tinned or fresh, depends on the season, every Friday night. Okay, it's just something we do. My mother always did it, and we put a little bit of mayonnaise on the eggs, a little bit of paprika, and we have the asparagus with it, sometimes some salmon, depends. And it's amazing how if I make a dozen eggs, which gives me 24 halves, or if I make 2 dozen eggs for the same amount of people, it all goes. So I decided, you know what? I'm getting a bit tired of just plain old boiled eggs. Let me make something different. So this is the salad, which also, they just lick the platters clean. It's 8 large eggs, hard boiled. Now, it depends on the size, you know, how many people you're having for Yom Tov or for Shabbos. But it's, you'll need 8. This recipe, it says 8 large eggs, hard boiled. And 1/2 cup of sun-dried tomato, and then just drain off that excess oil and chop up the tomatoes. You'll need 1/2 cup of red onions chopped finely. 1/2 cup of cucumber, also finely chopped, fresh English cucumber, nice and crisp. 1/2 cup of finely chopped celery. Make sure that it is finely chopped and that there's no sort of little bits of hairs on the celery. You know, sometimes you get those fibers. You don't really want that. Then you need 1/4 cup of olives, chopped, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon of oregano, and 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper. You can add a little bit more. You know, when you taste it, you'll see how you feel, and you'll add a little bit more. And then all you do is you mash or you grate up your hard-boiled eggs when they cool, place them into the bowl, and then you add the sun-dried tomatoes, the red onion, the cucumber, olives, and stir in your mayonnaise, a little bit of lemon juice, your spices, and voila, that's it. So that's our fresh new recipes for Rosh Hashanah, and now we're going on to some brisket recipes. Okay, so let's get started with brisket with a twist. Okay, so what did I mean by a twist? The twist is that you don't need to use brisket for any of these recipes. You can actually use a fresh hump. You can use top rib. You can use raisin rib. You can use brisket. Okay, they will all work with those cuts of meat. So, as you know, I mean, brisket is a cut of meat from the lower chest of beef. And, it requires a very low and slow cooking. Okay. Because of the amount of connective tissue in the muscle of the cow. And also something that I found out that was quite interesting recently was that the cow has no collarbone. So this muscle actually carries up to 60% of the weight of the cow. So, just a little interesting fact there. And there are hundreds, I know, there are hundreds and hundreds of brisket recipes out there. And it all depends on what your family like. I mean, if you know that your family don't like a watery brisket and they prefer a glazed brisket with a nice thick gravy, as mine do, then you know that you need something that's, you know, not so watery and not so full of what would you say, like a beef stock or something, but something that has a chutney or tomato sauce in it or something that has a lovely glaze. So I've pulled up a couple of my all-time favorites, and I'm going to share them with you after the song.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
You You're listening to The Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I am sharing some nice recipes with you for Rosh Hashanah. And as promised, I'm going to be sharing some simple brisket recipes with you. And as I said, you don't have to use brisket. You can use hump. You can use top rib. Stuff that, you know, that you can cook low and slow. Not a scotch fillet. That is something that you have to cook on high heat and then sort of keep warm so that it doesn't overcook. So here, let's talk about some brisket now. This is just called simple brisket because it really is so simple. You need 3 kilos of brisket or, as I say, whatever you want, hump, raisin rib. I mean, it's really, these are great cuts that need low and slow cooking. 3 onions, cut in half, and then you slice them. 1 cup of brown sugar. 1 cup of ketchup. 1 cup of red wine. That's all it is. Mix it all together. And you put your, if you're going to use brisket, put the fat side facing you. So that when it cooks, all that beautiful fat that some people like to cut it off afterwards. Don't cut it off before you've cooked it so that you can allow all that beautiful fat to penetrate and keep the brisket moist because brisket can get a bit dry. So you need that fatty layer. So you cook that, you cover it with tin foil, stick it in your oven and you cook it on 180 for about 2 hours. And then remove it from the oven. And then you can add some baby carrots if you want to, or round carrots or julienne carrots, and your potatoes if you want to at this point. You don't have to cut them. Your potatoes are very small because you're going to cook it on low and slow now for about another 2, 2.5 hours. You can even go 3 hours. So you'll take it down to about 140 and just let it cook and cook and cook. And then what I like to do is I like to put it in the fridge once I've done all that. And the next day, take it out. And then I remove all the fat off the brisket. And now the brisket is quite sort of firm. And I can slice it up. And that's it. And sliced and ready to be heated on the night. Because you don't have to worry about it being rare. Because brisket must not be rare. Because it will be very tough. Neither must top rib and neither must raisin rib. You just want it to be cooked through and soft and delicious. So that's one easy recipe. It's just onions, brown sugar, tomato sauce, and red wine. The next one is the tomo brisket, as I've called it. Because why? Because this is a good recipe for Rosh Hashanah. It's called tomo because it's made with tomato paste, not tomato sauce, not tomato ketchup, not, it's the actual tomato paste, or aspirate. You could use tomato puree, but then make sure it's a good quality one because these watery tomato purees you get today are not so great. So rather, I would rather go with tomato paste, and you need 3/4 cup of tomato paste, 2/3 cup of molasses, 2/3 cup of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of vinegar just to cut that sweetness, although it is quite a rich, sweet brisket, half a teaspoon of salt, and 1 teaspoon of coarsely ground pepper. Now, you can use top rib, you can use brisket, you can use raisin rib, whatever you want to. You mix the tomato paste with the molasses. Now, the molasses gives us that rich caramel, dark sort of color and makes it a lovely syrupy glazed kind of look to it. And then you would take add your brown sugar, your vinegar, just mix it all together. And then with one thing I forgot was the 1 tablespoon of dried mustard powder. Okay, so you add that, mix it all together, and pour it over the meat and you marinate it overnight. Leave it overnight so that it gets, you know, the meat absorbs all those lovely flavors. Take it out the next day and keep the sauce and sear the meat in a frying pan or a large cast iron pot or whatever you're going to use, and fry it so that it's lovely and golden brown on both sides. And then you bring the sauce that's left over, bring that up to the boil or stick it in the microwave just to warm it through, because remember, it has been marinating raw meat. Okay, pour that over the meat. I know that some people would say, well, if I'm going to pour it over the meat and it's going to cook in the meat, that's fine. Okay, but I just don't want to take any chances. Okay, either you can cook it all day in a slow cooker, because remember, you have browned it. A crock pot or slow cooker, whatever you want to call it, doesn't brown the meat. So that's why you want to make it look delicious and give it a nice caramelized color. And then you stick it in your crock pot, or you stick it in the oven. I leave it in the crock pot on low the whole day. Or you can stick it in the oven and cook it for about 5 hours on about 150. And then, as I said, with the other recipe, you remove it and slice it up, and then you can put it back into a dish that's already sliced for you. And this is actually quite a nice recipe to put prunes in as well. And you can put a couple of potatoes on the side if you want to, but this is a nice recipe to add the prunes to. Then we are going to go into another recipe, a rubbed brisket, okay? It's sort of rub me up the right way kind of recipe, and it's a mixture of dried spices that we want to rub the entire brisket or the meat with. So, and then as I'll explain to you what we're going to do as we go along, but just get the rub ready. And what you can do is actually double up on this, because it's a wonderful rub to have. And you can use it the following week as well if you enjoy it that much. Okay, so you'll need 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of mustard, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder. Okay, not garlic salt, please, because it's going to be too salty. 1 teaspoon of onion powder, not onion salt. You could use a tablespoon of the onion soup mix if you would prefer, but if you're using onion powder, you just need a teaspoon. 1 teaspoon pepper and 4 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 teaspoons of paprika to give it a lovely color, and 1 teaspoon of celery seeds. Now, I've fallen in love with celery seeds. I'm still battling to get celery salt from Woolworths. I don't know what's happened to it. If anybody sees it, let me know. But you can get celery seeds from your health store. And that just gives it such a wonderful flavor. If you can't get celery seeds, okay, then you can put a bit of celery in. But that's your rub. Now, I have to go to an ad break, so I'm going to come back to you with the rub me up the right way brisket recipe.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Hi, and welcome back to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and we are talking about a brisket rub and different kinds of brisket recipes I've shared with you. And as I said before the break, what we have to do is make up the rub. I would double it so that you can use it again. But, so what I did with, mix the, all the spices together and then really rub it and massage it into the meat. And then you take it and you put it in the fridge. In fact, what I like to do, you can cover it. I always like to cook with a cooking bag. I just feel that it keeps all the lovely moisture and all the sauces and everything in. And, you can do it for this as well. So you let it, in fact, I would let it sit in the rub for about 24 hours. Not overnight, a little bit longer. It actually helps to break down some of the muscle fiber, and it just penetrates deeper into the meat. And then the next day, what all you do is you take about 2 to 3 tablespoons, depending on how big your piece of meat is, 2 to 3 tablespoons of honey, and you can melt it in in the stove pot, or you can stick it in the microwave just to get it soft, and then just paint it with a paintbrush over the entire roast. Okay, and that helps to give it also a lovely, shiny sort of colouring and help caramelise it as well. And then what you do is you just pour 2 cups of beef stock. So you can either use 2 tablespoons of beef stock and 2 cups of water, or you can make your own. I mean, it's so easy to make your own. You just need 1 kilo of beef bones, which you brown, 1 teaspoon of salt, 2 whole onions, 3 whole carrots, 3 sticks of celery, cover it with water, I'd say about 5 centimeters above all the ingredients, and you just let it boil away until it reduces by half. And it's fantastic. You just keep it in little Ziploc bags, and whenever you need to use the stock, just take out your beef stock. You'll also need 2 bay leaves as well. So what you do then is, remember, we've rubbed our brisket down, coated it with a little bit of honey the next day, poured in 2 cups of beef stock, and all you do is stick it in the oven and cook it for 4 to 5 hours. Slice it, as I said before. You can put it in the fridge, you know, so get rid of all the fat. Slice it up, and you're ready. So those are our brisket recipes. And now everybody's going to say, okay, very nice. We've got some nice brisket recipes. We've got some nice salads. What about dessert? Okay. Dessert is something that, I don't know, seems to come to desserts. Everybody says, everybody waits for desserts. What's there for? And nobody eats it. So I think a lovely fresh green salad, fresh green fruit salad, the apples and the kiwi and maybe a bit of pineapple, and serve that with apple sorbet, because we need some apples for Rosh Hashanah. So here's your symbolic apple dish. And this fresh sorbet is, really is all you need with a fruit salad after a heavy yontif meal. And you need 1 liter of apple juice, 2 Granny Smith apples, peeled, cored, and quartered. And then all you do is you boil the apples in 1 cup of water and 1/2 cup of icing sugar. And then when it's soft, you remove it from the heat, blend it with a hand blender, or you can put it in the liquidizer or your food processor, add the apple juice, and that's it. You can add the apple juice to the Granny Smith apples as well, you know, just to stick it all in one pot and then just liquidize it all together. And then you just place it in a rectangular container and you freeze that for about 6 hours. Okay. And remove it from the freezer and you start scraping the sorbet with your fork, scrape it up. Or you can cut into blocks or whatever and scrape it up. You can reprocess it. You can stick it back into the liquidizer or the food processor. And you can remove it from the freezer and do this as many times as you want. And the more times you do it, obviously, the smoother it goes. Well, it's time for me to wrap up. And it's been great being with you. Remember, it's the Eat and Meet that makes the show complete.